Bonjour, and welcome to readings from the October issue of Bon Appetit magazine. This is your volunteer broadcaster, Ellen Ward. I'll begin today with a letter from the editor. Editor-in-Chief Jamila Robinson shares what's on her mind this month. I eat at restaurants as many as 3 to 4 times a week, so often that I'm observing and experiencing trends in real time. In May, I was at Vespertine in Culver City, California, shortly after it reopened from a 4-year pandemic closure, gushing over its stunningly beautiful salad course. The dish was a wild onion custard studded with crunchy pea pods and topped with an explosion of lupine and wisteria blossoms with sprigs of lemon thyme. The dish was so modern and refreshing, I would have been satisfied if the meal ended there. I kept thinking about that salad and then began to see pansies and nasturtium blossoms sprouting on salad and garnishing sea bass. Flowers add flavor, color, and dimension while being regeneratively farmed and good for the environment. As more restaurants strive to be more sustainable, I expect a full flush of flowers as a key ingredient on menus in 2025. It would be a natural evolution of the plant-forward cooking trend that evolved from dietary restriction, a move toward the innovative exploration and celebration of vegetables. Restaurant trends can shape not only the culinary zeitgeist, but also culture. West African ingredients like soya sauce and egusi have made their way out of neighborhood specialty stores thanks to restaurants like Tatiana in New York and Okoye in London. Caviar, once the hallmark of luxury, is now merely a condiment for house-made potato chips or game-changing chicken nuggets like those at Coco Doc, galvanizing yet another trend, the restaurant as club aesthetic. The most exciting trend I saw across the landscape was a spirit of collaboration, which is the underlying theme for the 2024 edition of Bon Appetit's Best New Restaurants. Around the globe, chefs are coming together with ingredients from their cultures, remixing menus from food festivals to fine dining. Watching musicians playing impromptu jam sessions is thrilling to see Chef Sean Brock of Nashville use Korean ingredients and Jung-Yung Park of New York's Atomics reimagine Appalachian flavors for an entirely new one-night-only collaboration. I love seeing chefs like Amanda Shulman and Alex Kemp from Philadelphia team up with the late Jamal James Kent as part of a dinner series at Crown Chai last winter. Over the summer, Elena Regadas of Mexico City brought her celebrated cooking to Las Vegas, where she and Sarah Thompson of Casa Playa in Las Vegas hosted a woman-led master class of contemporary Mexican gastronomy. These inspired pop-ups, takeovers, and shared kitchens have more than unexpected menus. They are a model for ways the restaurant industry demonstrates how culture and community come together for something more delicious. I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for the 20 restaurants on our list that exemplify a change rippling through the industry and that will continue to redefine our dining experiences. Jamala goes on to give these restaurant predictions. Back to the future. Jell-O for dessert? Saltines from scratch? Shrimp cocktail? I've had all three this year at neighborhood restaurants and predict that more aunts and grannies will influence chefs to bring these old-school dishes back to the table. Chaat masala. Our test kitchen editors, Chris Morocco and Shilpa Uskokovic, agree that the Indian street snack blend is the next go-to spice for grilling and sautéing. You can order it from our partners at Burlap and Barrel. Donut croissant continuum. Parisian cafes are filling up with American-style donuts. In the U.S., lamination techniques are on the rise. With pastry trends fueled by TikTok, we expect croissant variations to add layers of everything from cream filling to cookie dough. Next is an article titled Book It Better. Restaurant owners, a maitre d', and the CEO of Resy answer all your questions about the unspoken rules of dining reservations. By Lee Goldstein. I don't see any reservations online. Can I contact the restaurant directly? There's no harm in trying. According to acclaimed Philadelphia restaurateur Ellen Yin, that Hail Mary phone call could pay off. Somebody who's looking at the reservation book might see a way to make it happen for you, Yin says, especially if it's a special occasion. Eek, I'm late, what do I do? As soon as you can, get in touch. A heads up allows hosts to seat a walk-in party or move tables around as needed. Most places offer a grace period, but as Isabella Pisicane, director of hospitality and partner of Bussy West Village Bistro Libertine, notes, if you're 30 minutes late, there may be a chance the table won't be available right away. In some cases, you might have to kiss your reservation goodbye. What if I can't make it at all? Reservations help control the flow of service, and one last-minute change can throw off a whole night for staff and would-be diners. It's best practice to cancel at least 24 hours in advance, Yin advises. That way, you may also avoid any cancellation fees, which are usually made clear during the booking process. Save that money for dessert. Is it okay to bring more people than expected? Don't count on cramming in another chair at your foretop. It's not the best experience for the guest, as well as just kind of throwing things off in the dining room, says Tim Lacey, owner of Chicago fine dining spot Atelier. If you can't get hold of anyone, show up early to see what's possible. Is it bad to make a reservation I'll cancel if my first choice restaurant frees up? Planning for a backup may seem savvy, but it's akin to scheduling two dates for the same night. They're both prepping for you to come, says Pablo Rivero, CEO of Resi. If your preferred table becomes available, the right thing to do is honor your existing reservation. Chances are, if a spot opens up once, it'll happen again. And who knows, your second choice might turn into a dream dinner. Next up, the 20 best new restaurants of 2024. We begin with Texas Barbecue's 26-year-old Maverick. This is written by Elazar Santag. Lockhart, Texas. Barb's BQ. The entrance to Barb's BQ is marked by a pink wood sign decorated with little hearts. Inside, white walls are prepared with menus in that same bubblegum hue, several illustrations of Sonic the Hedgehog, and plenty of kitschy tapestries with life-affirming expressions. The decor recently expanded to include the lime green cover of Brat, the 2024 album that elevated Charlie XCX to pop treasure. This is the energetic world of Chuck Charnichart, the 26-year-old pitmaster upending Texas barbecue. From the start, Charnichart's approach has been irreverent and cheeky, unmistakably that of someone who grew up on the internet. She didn't name her first restaurant after herself in the vein of the state's most prolific pitmasters, Franklin Barbecue, Louis Mueller Barbecue, Terry Black's BBQ, and so on. Barb's BQ nods instead to Nicki Minaj, whose army of fans are known as the Barbs. From top to bottom, Charnichart has styled her restaurant with an aesthetic shared by the sorts of queer and female pop icons who smash barriers and reshape American culture in their image. This young pitmaster is reshaping barbecue in hers. Charnichart's mastery of traditional cuts is apparent in her dark and wobbly brisket and juicy turkey breast, but her spirited approach is clearest in dishes like her Molotov pork ribs. A salute to fond childhood memories of flaming hot Cheetos, they're lacquered in a fiery, sweet sauce, superpowered with serrano, guajillo, and arbol chilies. Each order is brightened by a flurry of lime zest. Diners eat these hulking ribs alongside spaghetti in cilantro-packed green sauce and generous scoops of sweet, sticky pineapple upside-down cobbler. I want it to be fun and silly and not so serious, Charnichart says of the menu. Charnichart often incorporates the flavors of South Texas into her cooking. Her parents emigrated from the central Mexican state of San Luis Potosí to the Texas border town of Brownsville in 1997. At her first pop-up event in 2021, she served a duo of Heaven or Las Vegas ribs in honor of an album by the Scottish indie rock band Cocteau Twins. The Heaven ribs were glazed in a bright and sweet cherry sauce, while the Las Vegas were smoky and dark. I was thinking about the flavors of the Rio Grande Valley, spicy, citrusy, savory, and also a little bit of pop culture, she says. China Chart's father was a cook at a seafood restaurant on a nearby barrier island, and her mother made nearly every meal from scratch. In high school, China Chart won an iPad in a school raffle and spent her time listening to her favorite pop stars and debating their merits online. I wanted to be able to start my own music festival one day. Music was a huge part of my life, she says. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a lawyer. I've always wanted to be a lot of things, but I knew that chef was one of them. China Chart landed in the food world while attending the University of Texas at Austin. She worked the register and doled out sides at Austin's legendary Franklin Barbecue before taking a job in the kitchen at Goldie's BBQ in Fort Worth. In 2021, shortly after she started at Goldie's, it secured the top spot on Texas Monthly's star-making list of the 50 best BBQ joints. Goldie's co-owner and pitmaster Johnny White had an approach that would inspire China Chart's restaurant. A young crew of cooks and a penchant for pushing boundaries while remaining grounded in tradition. I was able to be a full-on student there and take on all the knowledge and practice and learn my own techniques, China Chart says. I was young and no one really took me seriously. Johnny saw my passion and saw how I work and put in the time to teach me and support me. If a slab of brisket was not up to par, it never reached the dining room. China Chart caught on, earning the trust to prepare the brisket and jockey the smoker herself. She got what I was talking about, White says. I really do think she's the best brisket cook in Texas. After departing Goldie's and test driving the Barb's BQ pop-up, in 2023 she found a fitting home for her own restaurant in Lockhart, a town of about 15,000 people, an hour from Austin. Lockhart is the official barbecue capital of Texas, named so for its density of legendary barbecue restaurants. On research trips, China Chart began to envision what she could add to this storied landscape. Aside from feeling very welcomed, it was also the idea of doing something so different in a place that has so much history with barbecue. Because of the restaurant's untraditional menu and its woman-led pit, China Chart says Barb's BQ hasn't always gotten a fair shake from barbecue conformists and what she describes as the typical barbecue guy. But as lines have gotten longer and attention is focused on the unimpeachable quality and originality of China Chart's food, the restaurant has acquired loyal fans and staff who believe in her vision. She's fearless, committed, and passionate about what she does, says Joanne Irizarry, an investor in Barb's BQ, who helps develop the restaurant's dessert and works the counter. There's a lot of very talented young ladies in barbecue now, and I believe Chuck is a role model for what success looks like. Barbecue businesses are often handed down like precious heirlooms, and top pitmasters tend to guard their seasoning and smoking methods. China Chart takes a different approach. Though still in her 20s, she spends a lot of time thinking about what the next wave of pitmasters will look like. Her approach, building up a young team and giving them the tools to set off on their own, is a defining characteristic of next-generation barbecue leaders like herself and White that champion the notion that there can be more than one top barbecue cook. Our team is relatively young, and when I was that age, most people in charge sort of brushed that age group aside, China Chart says. That's what I care about the most, making them see how valuable they are and how much more they can do. The Barb's BQ crew is small, a few full-time employees, but China Chart recently hired Logan Key, a 19-year-old cook who'd worked at a nearby restaurant. After tasting China Chart's barbecue and experiencing the warmth of her team, he'd begun checking each week to see if the restaurant had space for one more member, until they did. Though it's Key's first barbecue job, China Chart entrusted him to trim brisket, start the fire, and help out at the pits. Recently, she coached him through making a rack of ribs for the team to try. They were so good, she says. I saw my young self in him. The pitmasters from Key's childhood in Lockhart had decades of experience under their belts. He couldn't imagine reaching their position until China Chart rolled into town, a few years older than himself and brimming with ideas about the future of barbecue. "It's a future Key wants to be a part of," he says. "I'd love to do this for the rest of my life." Barb's menu is deeply rooted in traditional recipes we ate growing up, reinvested with a modern twist to bring the nostalgic into the present, says baker and Barb's BQ investor, Joanne Irizarry. "My mother was not a very good cook, and we hardly ever ate dessert. When we did, it was boxed pineapple upside down cake. My mother died the week I entered culinary school, and we had a very disconnected relationship at that point. So this pineapple upside down cobbler is special to me as part of the healing process. It was created in her honor." We travel now to San Francisco to visit Four Kings, article by Elazar Sontag. Forgo a table for a bar seat at Four Kings. Perched at the open kitchen, you'll have a prime view as chefs Frankie Ho and Mike Long carve golden squabs, evoking the scene that plays out in so many Chinatown restaurant windows. The energetic duo takes cues from their shared nostalgia for traditional Cantonese flavors, but instead of a classic banquet setting, they've designed their menu in the style of a Japanese izakaya, in which small dishes are meant to be eaten alongside plenty of drinks. As you lift a paper-thin slice of chili crisp-laced pig head to your lips, in comes a clay pot of rice flecked with Chinese sausage and smoky bacon. When you're sure the stream of food is ended and you can't eat any more, a cluster of massive snails arrive, served in their shells, packed with XO sauce and accompanied by a sidecar of fluffy milk bread. Sweet, spicy oil stains anything in its path. This is the cooking of two chefs who know how to really let loose, and hope you will too. Our next destination is Miami, Florida, where we visit Tom Tom. The article is written by Kate Kassin. In Vietnamese, the term Chan Niao describes a place where people gather to drink, feast, and experience pure enjoyment. Next to a downtown Miami bus stop, Tom Tom is exactly that. Chef Tom Pham and his husband, sommelier Harrison Ramhofer, have created a funky diner vibe that extends to a bathroom equipped with a hidden karaoke machine. Outside, patrons chill on colorful plastic stools drinking natural wine, while in the dining room, they lounge on floral vinyl banquettes and order off a menu that's Vietnamese with a hint of Miami flair. Goat curry is bathed in chili oil and served with Chinese egg noodles and a flurry of herbs, a fiery nod to Miami's Caribbean community. A tangy crudo punches up Key West pink shrimp with fragrant lemongrass, fresh ginger, and pungent shrimp oil. Many of the best dishes are designed to be eaten by hand. Pham wraps ground lamb in peppery betel leaves and serves the dish with rice noodles, baskets of lettuce, and enough toppings to fuel a feast that shows no signs of slowing down. Next up, a Midwestern menu with boundless vision by Serena Dai. Agony in Columbus, Ohio. What's a Chinese chili oil dumpling doing on the same menu as an Oaxacan mole or a Texas Roadhouse-inspired bread service? Every plate served in Agony is a reflection of executive chef and owner Avishar Barua's staff and their diverse backgrounds. Some creations, like Sardinian pasta with goat curry, blend cuisines, while others, like a pani puri, stick to tradition. The courses, and the many extra snacks, also share an underlying assiduity and a sense that Agony's kitchen team is having a great time. Rohan duck undergoes an intensive one-week aging and marinating process for one of the bigger dishes. Yet a comically large chili cheese fry, which nods to Cincinnati's iconic food, is pure fun. Servers credit one cook with that luscious mole, another for a Brazilian shrimp stew, and Barua's uncle with a bright creamy yogurt dessert. Lucky for us, Barua has a knack for surrounding himself with talent. Continuing with Agony is A Story in Every Dish. Alongside chef de cuisine James Garlock, Barua draws on personal history, staff influences, and the Midwest to shape Agony's menu, These six courses were served in spring of 2024 by Lee Goldstein. Chaat. Chaat is a common welcome snack in South Asian homes, and for Barua, it's the ideal starter course. The dish relies on varied textures, a starchy base, crispy toppings, and tangy sauces or chutneys. This twist on French onion soup leans into maximalism with caramelized onion and potato puree, fried spinach and arugula tendrils, crunchy jamuri, a Bengali puffed rice mix, and nigella seeds. The more you add to it, the more cool it becomes, he says. In that spirit, Barua completes the mélange with a trio of drizzles, apple chutney, creamy salsa, and heck of a good sauce, a homemade riff on the onion dip from Hell of a Good, a beloved store-bought Midwestern brand. Mokika de Caramayo. Carla conceived this course around the holidays with shrimp cocktail in mind. He also drew inspiration from Moqueca de Camarão, a Brazilian stew, creating an aromatic sauce that combines zingy horseradish with tomatoes, garlic, sherry vinegar, coconut milk, and mockroot lime leaf. The prawns play homage to an unlikely patron saint, the fried shrimp at Red Lobster. They're coated with crunchy buckwheat and toasted coconut, then plated with melted leeks, shrimp chips, and dots of charred allium oil. Red oil dumplings. Each of these Sichuan dumplings contains a kebab-spiced lamb filling based on a family recipe called kebabi, endearingly nicknamed after Barua's brother. The wrapper is sealed with seven precise pleats, a technique Barua learned while working at Danny Boyan's Mission Chinese Food in New York. The dumpling sits atop a bed of charred cabbage and is accompanied by a grilled duck tenderloin skewer. Diners are encouraged to dunk the skewer into the sweet soy sauce swirled with Kashmiri and Tianjin chili oil. Bocht chul. Barua's point of view as an Indian-American chef born and raised in Ohio shines in this melding of two iconic dishes, goat curry and beef stroganoff. The sauce, heartened by tender morsels of goat meat, is his mother's recipe, and the kitchen staff learned straight from the source. My mom will come and teach, or we'll go to her house, Barua says. Grilled pickled local mushrooms add welcome acidity and texture. Rather than egg noodles or rice, Barua opts for saffron-infused maleratus, chewy Sardinian semolina shells that create tiny cups to cradle every bite. A side dish of mango chutney, fried shallots, mint, and pickled veg offer cooling counterpoints to the rich curry. Rohan duck adobo. No matter how Akanese menu changes season to season, the final savory course is always duck. The one requirement? The dish must have an anchor and something meaningful to somebody in the kitchen, Barua says. Here, garlic leans into flavors first introduced to him in culinary school by a Filipino friend. In this rendition, adobo sauce is reimagined as a reduction of duck stock and traditional elements, cane vinegar, palm sugar, garlic, and soy caramel. Confited duck thighs are rolled into crispy lumpia. Dry-aged duck breast mingles with a kochi pickled duck egg, pickled eggplant, fried garlic, rice, and dots of banana ketchup and coconut mustard. And one last dish from the Agony menu, café con pan. When Garlic and Barua visited Oaxaca earlier this year, they were hosted by their co-workers' families. Every meal ended with café de olla and pan de molette, a simple baked roll ideal for dunking in spiced coffee. To bring this bit of hospitality back to Ohio, the chefs collaborated with everyone on staff to compose a cinnamon and cocoa-tinged bread pudding made from leftover sourdough. Dulce de leche, coffee-shaped ice, cookie crumbles, and clouds of meringue, all dusted with lime zest and pineapple powder. It's a sweet and meaningful final note. Next on Bon Appetit's list of best new restaurants is Meeting House in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Review by Emil Stonik. Meeting House is, at its heart, a beer bar, though you may not know it from the menu. There are exactly 5 beers on offer. 3 they make themselves and are described with refreshing succinctness as pale, dark, and hoppy. Do a few idiosyncratic things with a humble obsessiveness. Every aspect of Meeting House adheres to this mantra, from the tightly curated and all-draft cocktails to Chef Drew DeTomo's unassumingly excellent pub fare, approached with fine dining fastidiousness, a lofty plate of lettuces, delicately dressed and unencumbered by a word salad of garniture, twin turkey cutlets crowned with nothing but a fat lemon wedge, so moist that sauce would only distract, a hot roast beef sandwich that squares up with even the best bar burger. This is the platonic ideal of a neighborhood joint, clear-eyed, hospitable, doing so little to draw attention to itself that it is positively irresistible. In Washington, D.C., we visit the Bar Del Monte, review by Emil Stanek. The pizzas at D.C.'s Bar Del Monte are excellent, which should come as no surprise. After all, chef owner Oliver Patan grew up in the kitchen at Two Amy's, his parents' iconic Neapolitan spot. But Bar Del Monte is not a pizzeria. Rather, it's a celebration of the kind of rustic, ingredient-driven cooking found at the best Italian trattorias and Basque Pinchos bars, places where humble, top-notch ingredients are treated with exacting care, and pig's ears really are turned into silk purses, or in this case, a perfectly crisp, chewy Fritto Misto. For the Arrosticini, a specialty of Abruzzo, Patan breaks down whole Virginia lambs into bite-sized nubbins, then painstakingly alternates fatty and lean bits on skinny skewers before grilling them gently. The dish is not flashy, but it astounds. Quality meat, aged and butchered with care, seasoned and grilled to taste like sweetgrass and fat and the barest whisper of smoke. When so many chefs are playing to phone cameras, this kind of salt, pepper, olive oil cooking feels especially bold, a reminder that simple food can be the hardest to make and every bit as exciting to eat. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Bon Appetit On Demand. This is your volunteer reader, Ellen Ward, inviting you to check out all sorts of interesting and informative on-demand and live streaming programs here on Sun Sounds of Arizona.